give us enough caffeine to change the things we can. And handfuls of sedatives to understand the mind of a liberal. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
All right. How are you today? Okay, it's a Friday, and let me just tell you, I'm going to discuss a subject today that I don't think I've ever done a show on. Now, that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. Do you know why?
Bike ride when you were 12.
Well, let me start this.
You would have needed the helmet to keep your head from caving in while your friends were pelting you with rocks. Dorko, what's with that plastic hat? Cut it out. Cha-ching, cha-ching. You dented my basket. I'm telling my mom. I had the pleasure of growing up in America before the lawyers took it over and ruined it on us. And, yeah. In my day, if a kid fell off the monkey bars and chipped a bone in his arm, that was tragic, but it was funny to the rest of us. Certainly wasn't reasons to take the monkey bars off the playground. We all did dumb things. That's how you learn not to do dumb things. C.S. Lewis said suffering was God's megaphone. That's right. You do dumb things, it hurts, and then you learn not to do it. That's the America I grew up in.
You know, I play that because I have to go back to a simpler time when we weren't trying to navigate our way through all this stuff, all this, the lies, the crazy, the insane. And so I'm going to touch a subject today that I haven't done. That's saying a lot. I was just saying as we were coming in, that's saying a lot because I've been on the air for a very, very long time. And it's surprising that I've never done this in depth. And so I'm going to do this in depth. And I'm also going to invite you to call in because I think the majority of people listening probably know someone affected by what I'm about to discuss. And it's going to get real interesting on the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out. I'm going to play you a clip from Dr. Paul Byrne. Dr. Paul Byrne is a whistleblower. He has testified in court. He is over and over again. He's a very interesting person because he just sort of lays out the facts for you. And I know that, like I said, a majority of you have probably known somebody that's had their organs harvested. And you went to the hospital, maybe somebody you know has died and they were not dead yet, but then their organs were harvested and sent to other people. And most of you have organ donation on your license as a donor. And I'm going to have you rethink that today because this whistleblower is worth listening to. He's been around a long time and he's going to tell you the very interesting definition of brain death and the definition how it got rolling, and it involves Harvard and the lies surrounding it. And you'll never look at this topic the same, I promise you. And on a Friday show like today, I like to go in places that people will not go. And so, yeah, we could talk about the Middle East. Ugh, I'm tired of the Middle East. We could talk about fake ISIS. We could talk about Trump and Biden. I'm tired of it. Yuck. I just don't want to talk about any of it today. I want to talk about this and I want to invite your phone calls, but you must listen to this. Now he's in a restaurant discussing this, but it is so good. So really tune in and I'll periodically stop it to talk about what he's talking about because I've done the research that he's talking about and he's right on. This is Dr. Paul Byrne. Here we go.
What? I started a special care nursery at Cardinal Glenner Children's Hospital in 1963, and we were instrumental in, we helped invent the ventilator, we invented how to take blood pressure on premature babies. We were the ones that invented nutrition in the vein. We identified the need for magnesium, the need for zinc, the need for copper, and we did it with metabolic beds. We did every intake and output and did these things. So we were a leader in the field of neonatology. The hospital still is a leader in the field of neonatology. But then I had a baby, Joseph, in 1975, who had flat brain waves and was said to be brain dead.
So he has this baby he's the doctor for, and the doctor, they were told that, well, he's got these flat brain waves and he's just this little baby named Joseph. Okay, here we go.
And it was suggested to stop treating him. I said, well, I don't do that. I treat babies, some live, some die, and kept treating him. And he did eventually get off the ventilator, and he went to school and he got straight A's and ran track and played baseball. And he's married, he has three children. So because of him, after about 6 months, when he continued to live and was doing much better than anybody would have predicted, I started to investigate brain death. And it took about 2 years till I understood the language of brain death. Brain death is a lie. It's a lie that's been told over and over again, so people don't even realize it's a lie anymore. But it's been a lie from the beginning, continues to be a lie.
Okay, so he's talking about brain death continuing to be a lie. He said it was a lie in the beginning. It's still a lie. That this actually is not a truth at all. That it was, and we're going to get into this, that it was a made-up thing to conceal a bigger evil tragedy that took place. And so he's saying, you know, this Joseph was a baby and basically told not to treat this baby because it had because he had flat brain waves. And he said, no, I don't do that. I treat. I don't just let these babies die. I'm not going to do that. And Joseph is married with kids now and leading a full life. And so he said, what we don't understand is that this whole thing was founded on a lie. This is Dr. Paul Byrne. Here we go.
So I've published in the medical literature. I have an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association. I have an article in the Gonzaga Law Review. It's 85 pages, has 244 footnotes to it. Because of that, eventually I have continued to talk about brain death. Brain death is a lie. I have talked all over the United States. I've talked in many countries. The truth is easy, and then once you deviate from the truth, then you have first it's this false, but then when people become conscious of it's false, then it's a lie. Brain death is a lie. The way it occurred was that Christian Bernard did the first heart transplant in South Africa in 1967.
Okay, so Christian Bernard did the first transplant in 1967. And what's fascinating about this is that there's only a few periodicals, we'll say, that go back that far. Most of the history that you hear about this starts in the 80s, which is really strange that they're not mentioning that. But Christian Bernard did the first one. Here we go.
1967. 3 days later, they did the second heart transplant. And you don't know where that is, but I'll tell you. It was done in Brooklyn, New York. And what they did is they cut the beating heart out of a three-day-old baby and transplanted it into an 18-day-old baby. And at the end of their surgeries, a short time after the end of their surgeries, both of those babies were dead. It was illegal. It was immoral.
So, 3 days later, this was 1967, they tried this in New York City and took a beating heart out of a three-day-old baby and put it into an 18-day-old baby, and they both died. Now, when you go into the history of organ donation, this is a story you're not going to find. And there was this is what started the ball rolling, but you're not going to hear about that very evil, like he said, immoral case of them doing this.
Illegal, it was immoral. And So they had to do something to make it legal. And so what they did is they set up a committee at Harvard, and the committee invented brain death. The committee did not do studies on dogs or cats or rats. They didn't collect data on human beings. They just invented brain death.
Wow. They invented brain death to conceal an evil act that they did at Harvard. And that was to take a heart out of a baby, a beating heart, and put it into another baby to see if they could do that 3 days after, upon hearing about Christian Bernard doing a transplant. That's how sickening this is. It all started with a lie so that they could conceal a crime. Okay? That is, I can't tell you in my research how often I find stuff like this. And this is Dr. Paul Byrne talking, and he's testified many times in cases against organ donation, but he said most people do not realize the history of this. They don't realize that it was all started on a lie. And it's put in as a feel-good measure. How many people have organ donation on their license who go, well, I'm doing something good. I'm doing something good for society. I would rethink that. Because now there are laws on the books that if you sign up as a donor, your family, upon hearing this news, let's say something tragic happened to you, they could not alter that. Once that's on the license, like in the state of Texas, for instance, once that's on the license, families, doesn't matter what the family thinks, doesn't matter what they've learned, doesn't matter what they've uncovered. This is a tragedy. And I'll tell you why, because, and I have more tape from him, but I'll tell you why, is because I've seen so many stories, and I don't know why that it's been an interesting thing to come across so many stories of people who were in comas, who woke up, and they were declared brain dead by the doctors, and he's going to tell you how the hospitals coordinate these things. But what's fascinating is how many people wake up. And I'm going to say it's not as many as you'd think, because most people buy into the lie of brain death. They buy into it. That's the tragedy here. So you're not going to have an overwhelming amount of cases because most people are pretty much terminated. But he's going to tell you why it happens, why when they take you off the ventilator, you're going to struggle. He's going to explain why that is. But they take the struggle for you not being able to get past this, not being able to get your life, you know, going again. So he's going to describe this. It's fascinating. Stay with me on the Kate Daly Show.
Can you believe after all the recent violent protests, looting, and destruction, some communities are considering either defunding or abolishing the police? If you agree that now is the time when police protection is needed most, then it's time we stand up and support your local police and the communities they serve. Call 800-JBS-USA-1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet. That's 800-JBS-USA-1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet today.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
All right. Gotta have some blues. I know, it's a Friday show, so totally different today. You know I'm willing to take on any subject, but when I was looking at so many stories about people surviving comas and so grateful their families just let them have time to heal, it was amazing to me. I thought I would always be in a position to do that and let their brains heal, at least have a chance. I know nobody wants to be a vegetable, I get it, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just giving them a chance, right? Doesn't mean indefinitely. It just means give them a chance to heal, let the brain heal. And this doctor, Dr. Paul Byrne, puts it so eloquently about, and so fascinating about how that works, why they say that your loved one just won't go on, and the tests they give them. So bringing this to light today is, I know, controversial for sure. And I know for some it's going to be hard to hear after the fact. And I know that it's something that we need to be aware of, because I think we too likely put donor on the license without really thinking about it much. And I think we need to think about it much. So here is a little bit more from Dr. Paul Byrne talking about this. And he has the cred to talk about it. He's been in the industry many, many years. Here we go.
Transplants, they have a designated requester. And a designated requester is usually a very nice person who dresses nice and befriends the relatives. Can I get you a cup of coffee? Oh, I know this has to be terrible on you. We'll do everything we can to help you. And all of that is part of getting them indoctrinated to get their organs.
Wow. A designated requester going in to, and they might think that they are doing God's work. I don't blame these people as much as I think that they think they're doing the right thing, because so many people have, and so many people do think they're doing the right thing. The interesting part about today is that they had 46,000 transplants performed in 2023, 46,000. You can't believe how many billions of dollars go into this. And how many billions of dollars, I'm sorry, not go into this, that's a bad choice, are made and profited. Global organ transplantation will be a $90 billion market by 2030. That's only 5.5 years away. It is multi-billion. In the U.S., it was a, it'll be a $12 billion year this year. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And I'm not even talking about tissue. I'm not talking, there's tissue transplantation, which is pretty gruesome. And then there's organ transplantation. And the organs to be transplanted are liver, kidney, pancreas, at the same time, heart, lung, and then heart, lung together, and then intestine. There's a lot of call for this. We know, and I'll get into China a little bit too, because they have forced organ donation upon execution and using the Uyghurs as an organ donation festival. Sad, sad, sad. They are, taking organs from people that are not deceased, that do not are not looking at that end. They are very much alive. And Dr. Paul Byrne, there's more tape I have for you, but Dr. Paul Byrne talks about the fact that you cannot take organs from a cadaver to transplant. It has to be from a living person. And I think if there's any message today that people need to walk away with, is you need to understand that it's coming from somebody living. And if you're living, do you have a chance to have a full life? Because they can't take organs from someone that has passed away. And so we're consenting to this, and we're saying, well, we want to make something good out of this person's life. Are we doing the right thing? That's my question today. Are we doing the right thing? I know, not a super uplifting thing today to talk about, but so fascinating to me anyway, because I'm knee deep in research every single day, over 35,000 hours of research now, is how many lies are told to start things like this that end up being a good message in our society. I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show, and I will take your calls.
Have you ever heard someone say, the system's broken? Sure you have. Well, it's not true.
America's founders created a brilliant governing system that prevents us from having kings, queens, dictators, and even czars. We the people can replace every elected official in a span of 6 years if we so choose. Here at the John Birch Society, we believe the only way to liberty, prosperity, and national sovereignty is not only understand what's in our founding documents, but demand that every elected official adheres to them. The reason we have a ballooning, reckless, and corrupt government is because elected officials aren't following the Constitution. The John Birch Society is principled, coordinated, effective activism. We believe the Constitution is the solution. Join JBS and change America. Visit JBS.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1 to get involved. That's JBS.org.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Oh, yeah. I love music. Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show on a Friday. Makes it a little more exciting, doesn't it? I love going into the weekend. Friday nights are like my fave. Bringing your attention to all of this, I have more tape to roll from Dr. Paul Byrne, and what he has to say is quite fascinating. You're going to find it extremely fascinating, and it's going to actually make more sense. Organ donation is going to actually make more sense to you. I know we had an earthquake in, it rocked Philly all the way to New Jersey, up to Boston. It was only a 4.8, which isn't the word, like the most uncommon thing. We have registered 3 earthquakes, it seems like all the time, out here in the West. But I might mention that in the next hour. I'm also going to open the phone lines. You can call in about the eclipse. You can call in about anything you're studying, looking at. If you want to let the audience know about it, I'm game in the next hour as well. So, 888-673-1450 is the call-in number if you're listening live. And I'll try to get to your call. And then also, Birch Gold. There's 2 things that we need to do. Shore up everything we have with gold. Get it gold-backed so that you have that reassurance because it's the only step you can take. There's no other step. And it's free to do. So I love that. My gosh, it's free to do. You just have to do it. So text Birch Gold 989898. That's the phone number. 6 digits. They repeat 989898. My name is Kate. So put in Kate, K-A-T-E. You're going to get some free information on how to do it. And it's easy. It's not hard. Buy your gold and silver from Birch Gold because they're amazing. And also get out of your credit card debt. Get out of your credit card debt. I can't say that enough right now. It's a huge warning right now. And there's a lot of people warning about that. We've got to get out of debt. I think it'll be used against us in the future. And this is a good time to do it. Get out of your credit card debt. I'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But it's been on my mind a lot. And you're going to see a lot more articles kind of flash before your eyes on the news reporters that you like to listen to and or like to hear from, because it's a big deal right now. There's lots of warnings going out. Are we going to listen, right? Okay, so here's more from Paul Byrne. I don't want to keep you waiting. So here, he's discussing organ donation. Here we go.
See, and you cannot get any organs from a cadaver. Every organ that's transplanted is a healthy organ, and you can only get healthy organs from living persons. You cannot get any organs for transplant from a cadaver.
That's why you don't put it on your license.
And the things I'm telling you is that you are not allowed to hear. And because if you hear it, you will be upset, as you, all three of you, are upset. And rightly so, you should be.
What's interesting is, have you guys realized how many movies they have promoting organ donation? Did you guys also know that there was a law passed last year that allowed organ donation to become easier for them to do and profit off of? Yeah, I'll get to that too. More from Dr. Paul Byrne. Here we go.
Should be upset because whose organs do they want? They want the organs from the, certainly from all children, but especially the people who are 16 to 30. And their life is in jeopardy. If they're unconscious and on a ventilator, they're going to get their organs. And they do everything to get their organs. And once the organs are taken, you can't bring them back to life. And so that what they do is they tell the relatives, well, your daughter Sally would really like to do something good, and this is a way to make something good out of this tragedy, and or your son, and the while they have been getting organs from accidents and gunshot wounds, they now get more organs from overdose of drugs than they do from accidents and gunshot wounds combined.
Isn't that fascinating? They get more organs now from drug overdose deaths than accident victims or shootings. Things are starting to click for you, right? You're starting to make more sense. Okay, here we go.
In Ohio, and they get their organs is what they want. And so what are they doing? They're giving the policeman the Narcan to counteract the drug, which gets them into the emergency room, but it doesn't save their life. But gets them in the emergency room, and they still get their organs. And so...
It's so diabolically disgusting.
Oh, it really is. See, it's so bad.
I can't even...
Making sense.
Oh my gosh.
Making sense.
Yeah.
Now, part of why when you were on talking about unconscious and pain, and you might have talked about something else, what I'm encouraging you to do is to realize that there are common denominators of all of this. The common denominator is that each person is unique and unrepeatable and special. And a person is alive, but so are the dogs and cats running around that are alive, and so are the trees alive, but they don't have the life that the person has. And each person has that life, whether that person can walk or talk or show consciousness. In brain death, they do only three things for brain death. One is the patient does not show consciousness. The patient does not have brainstem reflexes that involve the eye or the ear. So there's about 14 brainstem reflexes, but they test only 6.
Did you guys hear that? There's 14 brain reflexes. But when they're testing them and you think they're testing all of them, they're only testing 6 of them, not all 14.
Only 6. They don't test the others. And then the test that they do that is called the apnea test. It's really not a test, it's a procedure. And what they do is take the ventilator away for 10 minutes. And the patient has to demonstrate that they can take a breath in that 10 minutes, or that becomes the signal to cut out their organs.
Let me say that again. This is Dr. Paul Byrne discussing this. Listen to that again. This is so crucial. This is how they show you that your loved one is gone, right? This is the test.
Only 6. They don't test the others. And then the test that they do that is called the apnea test. It's really not a test, it's a procedure.
Apnea.
And what they do is take the ventilator away for 10 minutes. And the patient has to demonstrate that they can take a breath in that 10 minutes, or that becomes the signal to cut out their organs. During the time they're off the ventilator, the carbon dioxide builds up, the acids build up. That makes the brain swell worse and makes them get worse. So everybody must learn, do not do an apnea test.
Wow. So when they take them off for the 10 minutes, carbon dioxide builds up. And so it makes the situation in the brain worse. So of course you're not going to get that response The brain hasn't healed, right? And so you're not going to get this response. And they take that 10-minute window to show you that your loved one isn't coming back. Are they explaining to the patient that what that process entailed, as far as that goes, the making it harder for the response to come? No, they're not. And he talks about this because he's saying they're not telling people in the hospital that we just made it more difficult for your loved one to respond, but we're trying to show you that your loved one is dead. It's pretty diabolical, isn't it? You're never going to look at this the same, I promise. I shall be right back on the Kate Daly Show, and it's excruciating, I know, it's sad. All built on a lie from Harvard. Makes more sense, doesn't it? Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
There you go.
Self-reliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people, tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, the New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World, for just $19.95. A great stocking stuffer, available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.
Show.
All right. You'll notice we have incoming music now into the show, and we're welcoming so many more new stations on starting next week. So exciting times for the Kate Daly Show. And I'm not owned. It's really nice not being owned by anybody. It's nice being able to talk about what I want to talk about. And if I can help in this way, just like back in 2021 when my husband was in the hospital and that video went viral, 20, 30 million people saw that video of me talking about my husband and how we had him playing golf on the fifth day out of ICU. And he's alive today. Same reason I'm doing this show today is because if we can understand what we're doing and think about this a little differently, then we can understand that it was started on a lie. Now, National Institute of Health has the story written out about 3 days later after Bernard's first transplant. The medical center in Brooklyn, New York performed the second one, and the donor heart was retrieved and transplanted into a 17-day-old newborn. It's right here on the government information, but you're not going to see that reflected a lot in the history part. So when you look at the history, it'll only go back so far. I'll talk about Bernard, won't really talk about this one, because they came up with the term brain death, which Dr. Paul Byrne says is not a thing. It's not true. They came up with that to hide sort of this new insidious evil practice, okay? And we, as a public, weren't warned of this. In fact, I'll tell you what, doctors or coroners are now given awards. They're given awards for directing the most organ transplant business. I'm not kidding. This is such a huge business. And I feel that one day this will be mandatory here like it is China. I do. I feel like we're going there, sadly. Here is more from Dr. I'll play that little bit again, but here's more from Dr. Paul Burn.
Do an apnea test. You almost learn it now. And you have to know it. I hope you never have to use it on your relatives, but you need to learn it. Do not do an apnea test. No one should ever have the procedure of an apnea test. And then you have to know that the overdose of drugs, they need time to heal. you know, right now, and I got a text as I was coming in from the father of a girl in Canada, Takesha McKitty. You can Google her if you want, Takesha McKitty.
I did. She's actually, it's 2017, that case, the case of Takesha McKitty in Canada. You can look it up.
I was talking in New York, and I was going to New Jersey the next day, and they called me and asked me if I would help with Takesha. So I went to Canada to help her. She overdosed on September the 14th. On September the 20th, they issued a death certificate on her. She's still very much alive. She moves her feet. She moves her legs.
But she has a death certificate?
She has a death certificate.
That is true. And she did finally die in 2018, a year later. But she was moving her extremities and everything, and her family fought in Canada to keep her alive. They wanted her organs, and they wanted them fast. It was a drug overdose, Takesha McKitty.
20th, and this is December the 5th.
You know, she's still alive.
She's still alive, yes.
But with the death certificate.
But she could have had her organs cut out on September the 20th, but by going there, put a stop to that. So she was not dissected. Everybody who has their organs taken, they're all dissected alive. There's no organs you can get from a cadaver.
That is such a huge point. There is no organ you can get from a cadaver. They are taken alive. This is just so huge. Here's more.
She must go back to the License Bureau and revoke that. And the law says it's a revocation. It's not a refusal, and they can still get her organs. And that law has been passed here in Ohio. So you asked as we came in, have I been here before? Yes, I came here to testify against that law. And so then when they had hearings 2 weeks later, I came back again. And they said, we ordinarily don't allow people to testify more than once. Well, what is that kind of stuff? What kind of outfit do we have? So I didn't say anything, but then they said, but we'll let you testify because you're a doctor. And I think to myself, why should they let me testify versus anybody else more than once? But in the state of Ohio, every representative and every senator voted for the bill to make it so that everyone is an organ donor. And it's presumed that everyone is an organ donor, and it's presumed that everyone has consented to everything to be done to them to see if their organs are good for someone else and to keep.
Wow. It's a lot to take in. What's really scary about this too is that we have these laws, this new law. This was on the Hill, published this, and this new law could bring about big business. This was just in September, bring about big business to profit from organ donation. The Biden administration was looking to upend the nation's organ donation system, impacting millions of lives. Like the doctor just said, are you presumed to be an organ donor? Not even consensual, just are you presumed to be by the state you live in? On July 27th, Congress passed legislation for the first time, this was last summer, allowing for-profit companies control over our nation's largest transplant system under contract with the federal government. The bill eliminates three rules that have been in place since the 1980s to make sure our system, built on the backs of people's willingness to donate organs, is free from incentives and make money off of their altruism, okay? But in other ways, it opens up the door more. Annual funds awarded through government contracts can't exceed a specified upper limit, which is currently $7 million. That's not exactly reining it in. With Congress' passage of the bill and King Fraud-A-Lot's signature, for-profits will be eligible to run everything from transplant patient waiting lists to system policymaking that governs how the system operates nationwide. In short, it's going to lead to for-profit donation system on the guise that they were reining it in. Mm-hmm. The very term is a dangerous oxymoron with potentially fatal consequences for transplant patients. I can't make this up. It's that bad. This was just last summer. If you don't think we're moving into the direction of China, and I think they do a lot more of their organ transplantation forced than we realize. I truly do, from all that I've read. And I have looked into this, and I will share some more with you, and I will take your calls in the next hour. I can't wait to hear from you. I really want to hear from you on this. I will be right back on The Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. Going places no one goes on the show. I'll be right back. 888-673-1450.
Are you fed up with where our nation is headed? Here at the John Birch Society, we know how to fix a reckless, corrupt, and out-of-control government. It starts with patriots like you. We believe the only way to liberty and national sovereignty is to not only understand what's in our founding documents, but demand that every elected official adhere to them. The Constitution is America's only solution. Join the John Birch Society today. Visit us at jbs.org.
Weather? Sunny with a 100% chance of government overreach. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
A lobster is a soft, mushy animal that lives inside of a rigid shell. That rigid shell does not expand. Well, how can the lobster grow? Well, as the lobster grows, that shell becomes very confining. Right? And the lobster feels itself under pressure and uncomfortable. It goes under a rock formation to protect itself from predatory fish, casts off the shell, and produces a new one. Well, eventually, that shell becomes very uncomfortable as it grows, right? Back under the rocks. And the lobster repeats this numerous times. The stimulus for the lobster to be able to grow is that it feels uncomfortable. Right? Now, if lobsters had doctors, they would never grow. Because as soon as the lobster feels uncomfortable, goes to the doctor, gets a Valium, gets a Percocet, feels fine, never gets off its shell. So I think that we have to realize is that we have to realize that times of stress are also times that are signals for growth. And if we use adversity properly, we can grow through adversity.
I love that. That was Rabbi Tooley, I believe. great clip. There's so many things like that. I'm not saying that doctors don't have a place, that I wouldn't turn to one for a certain reason, because I would. I look for really good doctors, though. And after what my husband and I went through several years ago, my eyes were so opened that I can't unsee what I saw, and I can't, I don't have the faith that I used to. Maybe you're different too now. Maybe after going through these last 4 years, you feel very, very different about medical practice. In the last hour, I was talking about the Paul Byrne interview. Dr. Paul Byrne has testified many times in cases where it involved organ transplantation, because he is not okay with organ transplantation. He came out and said, first of all, don't take the apnea test. The apnea test is not a real true test about where your loved one's at in that 10 minutes and in that moment. That they are not there. There's 14 different reflexes, different things that they test, and they don't test all 14, they only test 6. And then when they take them off the ventilator, they give them about 10 minutes to show you a window in which you're supposed to see your loved one isn't going to come back. But really what that test does is the carbon dioxide builds up in the brain and it makes the situation worse for the patient. So in that window, in that 10 minutes, you're more likely not going to get the response anyway, because things are now worse. They don't explain that. And that it was all started on a lie. And you can go back to the government Department of Health to look up this story, although they won't tell you the complete story. They'll tell you a big portion of it. And that was 3 days after the first heart transplant in 1967. 3 days later, they transplanted a baby organ, a baby heart, and it was alive and beating, put it into a 17-day-old baby. Both babies died, obviously, and that was the start of organ transplantation and also the profiting of this industry for years and years and years. I am going to take a caller. I told you I'd take your calls, 888-673-1450 if you're listening to us in the daytime. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, here you are doing another great public service reporting this. I took my red dot off my driver license about 30 years ago.
Good.
And it's actually a little bit worse than even Paul Burns' reporting here. It's just like COVID, a huge amount of money the hospitals mm-hmm. receive for these transplants. The kidneys is the number one organ by far that they do the transplants. But it's not just the brainwaves. There were a huge amount of documentation that many people were transplanted and killed before mm-hmm. they even had were connected to right. measure their brain waves. Even Burns is talking about unconscious and on the ventilators, and they did the transplants. And the actual war on drugs is actually contributing to this
mm-hmm.
because those of us know the economics and studied that. The amount of people dying from drugs or being injured by them is greatly increase because they're illegal. There's a huge profit. Many of the drugs, there's a 100-fold increase in profit, so there's more people in the business promoting them and selling them yeah. and growing them. So if you get rid of the war on drugs and go back to the principles our country is founded upon, legalized war, and prohibition shows that. But let me talk about, so that's one point, is that mm-hmm. there are many people that have died, that have been killed before they even hooked them up, their brains up. But the last thing I wanted to talk about is China, because I've studied this and I've seen videotapes of this. Hundreds of thousands, maybe a million, people that were alive were killed to transplant to remove their organs. I don't know if you've ever been to a fish restaurant where you can go and pick your own lobster, the lobster
tank.
Yeah,
sure.
And, yeah. This is what they do in China, and I've seen the videos and mm-hmm. hear the testimonies. They would political prisoners, often they're political prisoners, just mm-hmm. criticize the government, the tyranny, right. and things like that. And the people would actually be able to pick who they want. They get their backgrounds, ages, and everything. And they would go out and execute them yeah. just for their organs.
It's like a dating service, but with execution. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, right, but they weren't scheduled to be executed. They executed them to get their organs.
Yes.
And we're talking, it may be over a million they've done this, and they're coming from all over the world, including America, to Red China, where they would pick and choose who they're going to execute. And one videotape I saw this, at the last moment, the Red China representative realized that they were being taped and so forth, and they stopped it. But right up until that moment, they were about ready to buy the contract for the organ.
Jeez, makes me sick. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. You know, there was an author that reached out to me that I'll have on the show, a retired surgeon, actually. The last name is Marais, and spent their whole career fighting human trafficking and organ transplant. Same thing, illegal organ trafficking in Brazil. I mean, the practice of this and what they did at Harvard, all built on a lie, because Dr. Burns said that they had to make up a lie called brain death. And you'll see the cases that go to court, they all stand on the premise that brain death, the concept of brain death, is true. And it's not true. It was built on a lie to cover up the crime of taking that baby's heart and putting it into another baby. They both died, like I said earlier, but they had to cover up that crime so that it wasn't a crime. They had to make it a non-crime. So what they did was they decided to come up with the term brain death so that you would feel like, oh, the brain is dead, so the body will follow, so therefore we're doing the right thing by taking these organs. Now look at what that built into, all built on a lie from Harvard. Now you have organ trafficking, you have illegal organ trafficking, you have all kinds of things, just like the caller was talking about. And it's horrific. It's truly horrific. Here's a story. They very rarely cover these kinds of stories on the news, because usually what they do is they say, well, the person has brain, it can't talk, or you know, is completely nonverbal, or if they wake up out of a coma. And I do think that is to scare a lot of people. But here's a story that I've been talking about, as far as you might want to give them time to heal before you pull the plug completely. Here we go.
Incredible recovery. Doctors told 13-year-old Trent McKinley's parents their son was brain.